Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
From high atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
President Obama goes to New England to deliver a commencement address to the Coast Guard. Two women are told they're too fat to fly on Southwest Airlines. And a man spends his life savings to warn folks about Judgment Day.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed for this. Is Legion of News.
Good afternoon. I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Thursday, May 19th, 2011. Robert Fitzpatrick is absolutely certain that the end is afoot. He's put his money where his mouth is. If the world doesn't end on May 21st.
Everyone knows the end isn't afoot. The end is a hand. Get it together.
Well, if the world it doesn't end on May 21st, he'll have wasted more than $140,000 on bus and subway advertising. The 60-year-old Staten Island resident is a retired MTA employee, and he says he spent at least that much money, his life savings, on 1,000 subway card placards and even more ads on bus kiosks and subway cards.
On what?
Bus kiosks and subway cars.
Okay. For a moment, I thought you said placards.
Placards. Okay. Maybe. The ads say, global earthquake, the greatest ever. Judgment Day, May 21st, 2011.
It's the best Judgment Day of all time.
He also wrote a self-published book called The Doomsday Code, in which he says the Bible offers proof that cannot be dismissed. In an interview this week, he said, Judgment Day will surprise people. We will not be ready for it. A giant earthquake will render the earth uninhabitable. He said the quake will happen just before 6 p.m., God's people will be resurrected. It's also the day that God stops saving everyone, he said. He said, there's just a little doubt. Most churches teach if you just believe, you'll be saved. It's not our choice. It's God's choice.
Wait, so is God saving people now and just nobody told me? Because I could have been taking advantage of that.
No.
All
right. He said his book is based on the teachings of a fellow named Harold Camping, an 89-year-old radio host with a poor track record of end-of-the-world prophecies. He also predicted the world would end on September 6th, 1994, when it didn't happen, when there was no Judgment Day. Camping went back to his Bible and tried to figure out what went wrong. His group, FamilyRadio.com, is buying billboards nationwide, spreading his prophecy. Fitzpatrick worked for the MTA for 26 years, and he said he doesn't want to consider the idea that Camping might be wrong. He said, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. Everybody asks me that.
I don't understand. How can you have a poor, quote, track record, end quote, of end-of-the-world predictions? It seems like that's a... It seems like that is a one-shot, one-kill kind of a thing, or else, you know, you're sort of out of the... I don't think you get repeated attempts at that.
Apparently this guy has. Okay. Apparently he was wrong in 94, and he went, oops.
Sorry.
Let me do the numbers again.
Let me rejigger everything.
Apparently, also, I read this somewhere, Doomsday is supposed to happen at 6 p.m., and that doesn't matter which time zone you're in.
Really?
So I guess God is just going to kind of be sweeping from time zone to time zone.
Like Santa Claus.
Yes.
He's but it's sort of a doomsday bringing Santa Claus. Sort of a
Futurama Santa Claus.
Ho ho ho!
Shooting fire out of his eyes and shooting laser cannons from his fists. And
so this is sort of a doomsday in accordance with the laws of gremlins, where it's just midnight wherever you happen to be.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, thank you for joining us. It is Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. If you'd like to get this program later on the day, you can do it via iTunes as well as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com. That is legionofnews.com. It's also available on your mobile device. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. Mobile.cascadia.fm. Coming up later on this hour, entertainment news, also your science on the march, and next hour at rickemersonshow.com. The Rick Emerson radio program today will be having a cannibal watch, clergy watch. No, I'm sorry. Hold on, scratch that. There we go. Cannibal Watch, Clergy Watch, no Corpse Watch. So we got the Clergy Watch coming up today, Cannibal Watch coming up today, and the second half of our Sid and Marty Krofft song extravaganza. So that's all coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com, where you can listen for the low, low cost of just 32 cents a day. By the way, if the rapture does actually happen, that's gonna go up a little bit, because you're going to have to start carrying the weight of other people. I mean, it's not,
yeah.
not something for nothing. We're all going to have to do more work.
Although there is a Facebook page, it's one of those event things for the looting after the rapture.
Have we been invited?
No, it's just you can
Courtney
just sign
up. Courtney Hameister, I'm looking in your direction.
There is a Facebook page for post-rapture looting that you can join to say, yes, I will be going into my Christian neighbors' homes and taking their furniture.
Well, it's not even really looting at that point. It's just using. Looting is sort of just taking some stuff that theoretically would be going to somebody else. This would be going to no one else except other looters. I mean, really, just this is really a waste. This, as one of the Beatitudes reads, waste not, want not.
Mm-hmm. This is redistributing the wealth.
That's exactly what it is, Don. It's like, it's the good socialism.
Mm. All right. So I wanted to read this story. This comes via the LA Times, but the LA Times was reprinting it courtesy of Los Angeles TV station KTLA. And this is especially interesting because of just what they chose to emphasize in their headline. So, headline, imagine this in giant, bold print. Teens found dead near Four Loko can, died of accidental overdose. Subhead, in slightly smaller print. Four Loko is a controversial malt liquor nicknamed Blackout in a Can, which is popular among college-age drinkers. Now we get to the body of the story. Two teenagers whose bodies were found in a vacant apartment died of accidental overdoses. Aaron Sands, 15, and Chelsea Taylor, 16, were discovered January 21st in a vacant apartment on Huntington Village Lane. The Orange County coroner says both teens had methadone and Xanax in their systems.
So it's not so much an overdose of Four Loko as it was the Four Loko was just the, that was the spoonful of sugar that helped the heroin go down.
Not so much, no. They also had doxylamine, which I'm not sure what that is, and ethanol in Chelsea's autopsy, so they had some other crap in their system.
She was earth-conscious as she went out.
And then the story goes on to continue. Police found an empty can of the controversial energy drink Four Loko in the apartment.
It's an energy drink now.
Four Loko, known as Blackout in a Can, is a fruity caffeinated drink that contains 6% to 12% alcohol. Police say there were other indications of possible drug and or alcohol use inside the apartment as well.
Such as the fact that they were filled with Xanax.
And methadone.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So, but apparently the Xanax, the methadone, what have you, really, that's not the important thing. The important thing is that they apparently split a can of Four Loko.
I don't really understand why it is. It seems like the liquor industry would really be, they would have a heavier hand in this sort of thing. I mean, you always hear those stories about like, William Randolph Hearst had marijuana made illegal because it threatened his paper mills. You would figure, if that sort of thing were true, you would figure that the alcohol industry would, in this case, for example, totally be putting pinning the blame where it belongs, which is on fistfuls of Xanax.
Yeah.
Or methadone. And say, no, but the tasty, tasty alcohol did not contribute to their deaths. In fact, if they had only been consuming Four Loko, they would have at worst had, they would have had upset tummies and achy heads the next day instead of being, dead.
Yeah.
So I, in a strange way, I mean, this sort of, it sort of comforts me that that industry is not able to affect the outcome of news reporting. Mm. On the other hand, this doesn't really seem to be an accurate story in most ways.
No, and I just kind of feel sorry for whoever writes for KTLA News. that they are so desperate to actually, I mean, because God knows there's not anything interesting that ever happens in the Los Angeles area.
No, there's no real crimes or anything you could put. There's no actual drug usage or, you know, there's no actual abuse of narcotics that happens.
But the only way apparently they felt it was they could make this story interesting to the readers was to mention there was Four Loko in the room.
Well, and it must, well, you know why that must be? Because it must not be illegal there yet.
Well, actually,
because remember yesterday we had.
Yeah, it's been banned in several states, but it says it's still legal in California.
Because yesterday we had listener Ryan call up in San Diego in Sexcondido, who called up and was having difficulty listening live, and then we during the Rick Emerson Show, and then we talked it through him, and he said. And as he, this is how much the Rick Emerson Show cares about you. Not you individually as a person, but you as a sort of amorphous collective that, you know, that I, you know, that, you know, that's much more pleasant in the abstract, I imagine. He called up to the Rick Emerson Show and he's like, hey, I got this gift subscription and I'm not really able to listen. And he was having difficulty figuring out how to make his password function. And so we, and by we, I mean Cheryl, got everything working for him. But as I was trying to walk him through the, you know, here's where you put in your password, and here's whatever, he actually just said at one point, he's like, hold on, let me move my Four Loko out of the way. And just picked it up and set it down.
Now, this is also the guy that was home with his child, I believe, too, because the babysitter's father had died.
Oh, it never occurred to me that he had to be at home to babysit the kid because the babysitter's mom was dead.
Yeah, so that's why he's home. But he's babysitting while drinking Four Loko.
Well, the kids don't sit still on their own, Don. You can't just... And plus, you know, the thing is that NyQuil, they build a tolerance to that quickly. You have to switch it up every now and again. You can't just... It's a rainbow of remedies for you know that are needed.
Do we still have that can of Four Loko? Do we still?
Well,
own
I
that?
I didn't drink it, but Aaron
God
Duran
knows,
is here like once a week, so I decided to keep it as a sort of collector's item.
President Barack Obama headed to New England yesterday to deliver the commencement address at the Coast Guard Academy in New London, Connecticut. Mr. Obama charged the cadets with protecting U.S. shores while giving his speech during the 130th annual commencement.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just hold on a second. What is this, Barack Obama?
Obama won.
All right.
Here at home, we need you to stop those smugglers and protect our oceans and prevent terrorists from slipping deadly weapons into our ports.
He's not even trying anymore.
No,
he knows
it sounds like he's just making it. Coast Guard, boats? You have to be on those boats?
No, he's got the second term all sewn up. He doesn't even need to try. He doesn't need to put any effort into it. He's just, you know, he could just get out there and just go, celery, pig pen, petunia, whiskey, foxtrot.
You need to look good in those uniforms while you're protecting stuff? Yeah. Obama says the Coast Guard is everywhere, serving and protecting our nation, including in the middle of the desert.
All right, hold
that
on.
Doesn't make any sense.
Well, I guess.
Oh, just send the Coast Guard to the desert.
I don't know. Maybe it's to guard that creepy ship in Saudi Arabia that's just like sitting in the middle of a sand dune. Hold on a second.
I've seen your pride when I was in, of all places, Afghanistan. I was in Bagram thanking our troops for their service, and I was giving a shout out to every service, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and then way in the back of the crowd, a voice shouted out, and Coast Guard!
Giving big ups, as they say.
There was no ocean in sight.
Well, no.
He's giving mad props to his peeps in the Coast Guard.
Yeah.
The Coast Guard is sort of the... I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being in the Coast Guard, and I'm really not. I'm not doing this like a Johnny Carson style setup. I'm just saying they are the last branch of the military. They're still waiting for the respect that was sort of eventually accorded to the National Guard. Because there was that time you joined the National Guard because you didn't want to, quote, join the real military, or it was like viewed as being a dodge or a scam or something.
We put the kibosh on that.
Yeah, that's because we fixed your little red wagon. Oh, I'm going to hide in the National Guard. Well, I'll never have to serve anywhere. What? Afghana, what? You know, and then it's like, and then he would just sort of, you know, being dropped in the middle of a desert somewhere. So, but the Coast Guard, I think, is still, I think all the Coast Guard really does now, in my mind's eye, is they just sort of patrol Amity looking for the shark, and then they occasionally just get guys who are bringing weed in from somewhere.
I knew a fellow who was in the Coast Guard, and he was on an ice cutter.
I mean, who are we guarding the coast from, exactly? I don't mean to do this like a
pirates?
Bad like stand-up comedy thing, but I mean really honestly.
Pirates and Nazi submarines and
it's like even if I mean I'm not saying that America doesn't have
Godzilla.
Enemies at home and abroad, but it doesn't seem like any of those enemies like they don't ever come in that way. You know, they come
Godzilla does.
Lately they come in the skylight. They don't really come in the side door. So he was on an ice cutter?
Yeah.
Is there a lot of ice encircling North America that I'm not familiar with?
No, he was up in, like, Antarctica or something. And
that's not part of America.
I know, and yet that's what he was doing with the Coast Guard.
You know, this is because of the United Nations, Don. That's why we're up there cutting ice in Antarctica. Let the Antarcticans cut their own ice.
I know.
You know,
put those polar bears to work.
That's what I'm saying. You can't just, you know, you can't just do things for people and then expect them to be self-sufficient.
Exactly.
Christ.
The Calvert County, Maryland Sheriff's Office has arrested a 66-year-old Solomons, Maryland man for firing a shotgun at a group of teenage skateboarders Monday evening. A 15-year-old boy was struck above his right knee with a single gunshot fired by Charles Joseph Arminger. This according to Lieutenant Stephen Jones of the Calvert County Sheriff's Office.
Little hooligan, I'll crack your ollie.
Lieutenant Jones said a civilian took matters into his own hands and a tragedy occurred.
What was the tragedy? The skater was injured?
Overstating the tragedy.
Seriously, what was that guy really going to contribute to society?
Arminger told Sheriff's Office investigators he had encountered problems in the past with a group of juvenile skateboarders at the Solomon's Landing condominiums property. He told police he saw 7 or 8 teens on their skateboards using profanity, and he attempted to intervene. He said one of the teens called him a profane name, so he pepper sprayed them.
It is kind of great to think that he was going to minimize the amount of profanity being used by pepper spraying them and then shooting them in the knees.
Well, yes, he pepper sprayed them, then he went back to his condo, retrieved his shotgun. He said he intended to fire the shot to scare the juveniles, but struck the 15-year-old.
But I'm old.
In the leg.
I think even if you think that his pepper spraying of the youths was a bit of an overreaction, that's a sort of...
And I don't.
Well, but that's kind of a fool me once, shame on me kind of a thing. But if a guy pepper sprays you, and then minutes later, when he comes back with a shotgun, and you, by
the
way,
still there.
Are there, and you have skateboards with you, and you are still there, that really is a fool me twice, ow, my leg. I mean, that really, you have nobody but yourself to blame. And if you're a skateboard, all you have to contribute to society is just bad, bad weed and elf haircuts. So,
yeah.
You know, just move along. Get back to the bowling alley, hooligan. Let me tell you this. His lawn is free of skateboarders right now. They're not on his lawn. They're not near his lawn.
No.
They're not skating by his lawn. So,
And he's probably a hero in the condo community. Everyone is proud of him.
And here, Don in the studio.
I wish that guy lived in my apartment complex now that summer is coming and my neighbor's, like, loudmouth kids are, like, running around screaming and loud dad is standing out there yelling at them again now.
A good peppering with a shotgun might be just what they need.
Yeah.
Somebody's typing, is this live? Are we on Cops? Yes and sure. Here's what they get. Here's what that guy could do in my neighborhood. I don't have the skateboarders so much. Here's what I have. I don't know when, as a society, we started... I don't understand this, because there was this time where there were no motorcycles in the world, and then there were motorcycles the next day. And one of the reasons that, you know, and of course men are fascinated, and you know, not just men, but primarily men, are fascinated with, you know, the sort of the bravado and the machismo of that kind of vehicle, and it's the whole, you know, like you know, living life on the edge by your own rules, and it's the whole, there's the whole weird, you know, phallicism of it, and the riding on your own sort of Jovi-esque steel horse of having the motor. You know, motorcycles are very much equated with. I'm not always saying that a guy who rides a motorcycle wants to compensate for something, but it is a sort of an outward display of masculinity and aggression and, you know, and sort of alpha behavior in some way. So given that that is true, and we all know that it is, here's what I don't understand. I don't understand those guys that are riding those tiny little miniature motorcycles that somehow, then paradoxically, manage to be like 5 times as loud. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like guys riding those little mini scooters down my street, and it's always during
it's
summertime,
like
and it's like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, it's like a lawnmower engine with 2 wheels and a seat attached to it.
Yeah, so I mean, if somebody's going to be shotgunned, I mean, I'm not advocating that as a sort of problem solving, but if you are going to be shooting someone anyway,
yes.
If you can't be dissuaded from shooting and you're just looking for the target, Rick Emerson has some suggestions for you, just so you're not going off all willy-nilly.
Kenley Tigeman says she and her mom were told on a recent Southwest Airlines flight that they were both too big to fly on the plane.
Who?
Without purchasing a second seat. Kenley Tigeman.
Okay.
Despite the fact they had just gotten off another Southwest flight without any problems.
Well, maybe they were putting away a lot of those carameled peanuts, and they'd passed the event horizon.
Southwest has offered a formal apology and travel vouchers. Because when you're treated that way on an airline, of course, the next thing you want to do is get right back on that airline again.
Well, and travel vouchers, which they will presumably have to go on a diet to be able to use.
Yeah. Kenley says she thought some of the questions the employee asked were insensitive.
How huge are you?
They had offered us $200 vouchers because we suggested that they had broken a lot of privacy laws. They asked how much I weighed. They asked what size clothes I wore. And as someone who is in the middle of a weight loss journey, I was happy to tell them. However... it was still very inappropriate.
A weight loss journey.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Kenley says the employee finally apologized and she recorded it on her iPhone.
Do you want to tell me you're sorry on camera?
Of course. I'm very, very sorry.
Oh,
very sorry.
Everyone involved in this story needs to be beaten.
I'm very, very sorry for the manner in which I addressed it.
Thank you.
Oh, seriously, everyone in the story needs to be beaten with a tire iron.
I really felt bad for them until, you know.
Until she turns into a colossal sea at the end?
Yeah.
And by the way, and this is somebody else is noting, this is not me, this is somebody else is observing this in the, he says, are there privacy laws against asking somebody what size their clothes are? And I don't really think so. I think that's more of a, let me ask you this, do you pronounce it more or more? I never know, and I always feel like I'm doing it wrong. I was going to say societal moray against asking.
I say moray, and it might be one of those things like
a fake sophisticate,
like foyer or fort that we pronounce incorrectly.
Hold
because
on.
You know.
I'm going to look it up right now. That's one of those words that I'm never quite sure which
it
is.
I do think it is moray, but it doesn't have a.
I don't know if it comes from like the Latin or if it just it doesn't have an accent symbol, but neither do most things in like Spanish, for example. Hold on a second, more. All right, so. This is okay. So we're gonna get the actual pronunciation right here. All right, hold on a second. Let's see. Moray eel bit right through my wetsuit. Wait. Wait. Wait.
Okay.
Wait. By the way, you're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. I thought it was like... But I'm looking at the wrong definition there. Hold on, let's do it one more time here. Now, and of course, they only list the primary definition here with in terms of pronunciation. Ooh, wait, no. Okay, so here we go. This is the third. This is a person of a higher rank. Well, how many? For the love of God. Hold on a second. What? Biographical name, more, pronoun, adverb, adjective? What good is this free dictionary if they're just going to give me everything that I want? If they're not going to provide their entire contents at no cost, what am I going to this free dictionary for?
Well, now, dictionary.com does have moray, with an accent mark on it as a noun.
Well... Okay, so, now somebody else is saying that it's an adjective, but it's not. It wouldn't be an adjective though. Yeah. The adjective cultural would be the adjective. More is the that's the noun. It's being modified by the adjective. Well, now I don't even know. All right. Well, in any event, so what were we talking about? Oh yeah. So this woman with the
Listen.
Do you want to tell me you're sorry on camera?
Oh.
See,
seriously.
The thing is, I don't think you're. Yes, it was rude. It was insensitive. I don't think there are any laws against asking people what size clothes they wear. However, it's another one of those things though where they seem to get. I realize that people get really tied up in emotional issues when it comes to weight. God knows, I am a round person myself, but the issue at hand seems to be, to me, is that they were getting on a flight. They were told they were too big. They were going to have to each buy two seats. They had just gotten off another Southwest flight. So when it comes down to just going, I'm sorry, you want me to pay an additional like $200 to fly on another plane, even though I just got off of one of your planes and I fit in the seat.
Yeah,
that's the issue.
And it just doesn't help anybody. It does not recruit anybody to your side of the issue if you're acting like some sort of a kindergarten teacher with a stick up your gigantic ass.
Yeah. Also, when you start saying things like my weight loss journey.
Yeah. By the way, somebody's clarifying, morays are the water eels, and more are the black English guys in movies from the Middle Ages.
Thank you.
The Painted Man. It's like the third Painted Man reference I've done in like a week. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Next hour, the Rick Emerson Radio Program at rickemersonshow.com for the low cost of just 32 cents, regardless of your size. This is really proof that the Rick Emerson Show cares about you, because... whether there's a lot of you or a little of you, you know, it's one low cost. It's like an all-you-can-listen thing, and it doesn't matter. I mean, if you could have, even if you have gigantic ears, we're charging the same low 32 cents. And that's for a monthly subscription. I mean, really, it's like 29 cents if you're buying a yearly thing. So I'm just saying.
It is Moray's, by the way. I found it here. And instead of Moray, I looked up Moray's, the accepted traditional customs and usages of a particular social group. And it does say Moray's.
And even if it's singular, it's still Moray? You think?
I believe so.
All right. Okay. There you go. So we're going to file that under solved. Hold on a second. Wait, let me file that. Awesome. Done. You're listening to Legion of News. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
The parents of two young girls were arrested after they forced their daughters to live in a tent deep in the woods in Florida while they lived in an air-conditioned home. Deputies said the girls, aged 3 and 4, were found wandering alone in the woods near the tent on Monday afternoon on the property off State Road 100 in the northwest part of Union County, Florida. Lieutenant Lynn Williams of the County Sheriff's Office said, "It was just a terrible sight, a terrible scene. There was no food, there was no water. That was the first thing the children asked for." Detectives arrested 25-year-old Mark Tucker and 26-year-old Kathy Tucker. The couple admitted to police they left two of their three children to fend for themselves. The 5-year-old was at school. They did say the children were protected because of the family dog, Williams said.
So how long have they been living in the tent? Like, had they just, like, had it just started, like, that day or something? Because, I mean, I'm not saying you should make your kids live in a tent, you know, especially in Florida. In Florida, you shouldn't even let your kids out of the house, probably. But Florida is one of the states, the relative handful of places where you probably should just keep your kids in a cage whenever possible. But if the kids have been able to sort of navigate the outside world and survive in a tent for any period of time, I mean, bully for them.
Well, the parents were in Gainesville, Florida, getting drug treatment at a methadone clinic.
Oh, of course.
And visiting a blood plasma center. Deputy said a concerned family friend noticed that the couple left their home without the children. She went back and found the tent with sheets and two beds inside. Williams said, "We don't know how long or what the intent of the parents was. We don't know how long they would have been left by themselves."
Okay, so they caught this before it had really, like, you know, gone. You know, so it sounds like they had just left and sort of said, "Well, yeah, you will be back in a while. You've got the outdoors. It's a great place. You enjoy that."
And in one of those other statements that just raises more questions than it answers, deputies said they found the children's grandmother in the home on the property, but she wasn't capable of caring for the girls, and she didn't even necessarily know they were there.
Okay. They're just bringing her down from the attic like Grandpa.
With the bucket and the hammer?
Seriously. All right. Mommy and Daddy are going to go get their blood changed out. You just you stay here. We'll be back. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Here is Don Taylor.
Let's do some science.
Here's your Science on the March for Thursday, May 19th, 2011, here at Cascadia.fm. Brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find out more about them by going to SquiresElectric.com. That is Squires Electric. .com or facebook.com/SquiresElectric. You can also call if you like. It's 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make sure that things are done correctly, things are done right the first time, and that you are going to have the job done as it needs to be done, and you're not going to have to pay guys to come back and fix it or to sort of, you know, to be remedying, you know, and solving all of the problems left by the last guy that was there. So you go to facebook.com/SquiresElectric. You can see unsolicited. These are unsolicited testimonials, by the way. This isn't like some jazz where it's like where they paid, you know, where they paid like Charo. Which would be awesome, by the way, where they paid Charo to, like, represent them. And if we could do that right now, like at the Rick Emerson Show or whatever, if we could just get Charo to come on and just, like, sing a little ditty about the, you know, the entertaining nature of the show. I mean, we'd do that, but I'm, you know. But there's also something to be said for, oh, my God, a creepy doll with a melted face. Sorry.
Is that on the Squires site?
Did you see?
No.
Okay, just, here's the thing. Don't look at the comments when you go there, because I want to read the first one. If you go to facebook.com/SquiresElectric, this is sort of sweet, and then it becomes hilarious. It's a picture of, like, a gloved hand, presumably that of Joe Squires or one of the guys, and it's holding up a melted doll's face, and it says, "In case anyone hasn't noticed, we rewire a lot of houses after fires, flooding, vehicle impacts, etc." Don't read the comments yet, though. He's holding up, the gloved hand is holding up a melted doll's head, and it says, "Every once in a while, you come across something in there that is very interesting, or in this case, sad. Every time I look at this picture, it reminds me that some little girl or boy loved this doll." And then it's a picture of a melted doll's head. But then the very first comment, which is made by our listener Ryan in San Diego, just says, "This is why kids shouldn't do wiring." So there you go. And then someone else notes.
Yeah.
Listener Paul says, "I lost my favorite blow-up doll in a fire. I know what you mean. Very, very sad." So, there you go. So yeah. They're not just handy, They're handilarious. You can find out more at facebook.com/SquiresElectric. They're the proud sponsors of this year's Science on the March.
A projected spate of extinctions of animals and plants this century may be less drastic than feared because the most widely used scientific method can exaggerate losses by more than 160%, a study said this week. Extinctions caused by habitat loss require greater loss of habitat than previously thought,
How
said
can
two
you
experts.
Exaggerate a loss by more than 160%. If you have 100 of something and they're all extinct, that's still only 100%. Is it like, is the 60% like they're going after the species' friends or something?
Well, the scientists, this study was printed in the journal Nature. And the study is based on a survey of birds in the United States and forests. It suggests that the most commonly used method can exaggerate losses a great deal. The science said there is a reason to question a UN-led Millennium Ecosystem Assessment that projected future extinctions at 1,000 to 10,000 times current rates. And a 2004 study saying that 18 to 35% of all species could be set on a path towards extinction by 2050. Chris Thomas, the lead author of the latter study, said he'd publish an update later in 2004 with a less severe extinction projection. It's a pity the authors did not realize this, he said, and currently there's no reason for complacency that the extinction risk from climate change will necessarily be lower. But the thing is, some studies in the 1970s, for example, projected that half of all species on Earth could be lost by 2000. Most recent studies have added the idea of extinction debt, that species are doomed to die out once their habitat shrinks beyond a critical point. There's no doubt whatsoever the Millennium Ecosystem Assessment correctly identified habitat loss as the primary threat. But yeah, the authors of this at the University of California said they really need to revise the method with which they decide these things because, you know, you can count species in a certain area, but it's harder to count extinctions since that requires a judgment that the last individual has died.
And also because you don't always find evidence that a thing was ever alive. I mean, the idea that you somehow, in other words, the idea that you're going to know that a species existed in the past and then went extinct is a little sketchy to begin with.
We're talking about animals and plants that exist now.
Right, but they're talking about an increase in extinction rates, which means you have to know what extinction rates were in the past. And knowing extinction rates in the past means that you have to know what was alive, how many there were, and then when it died out, which is, you know, like, impossible, because we find fossils of almost nothing. I mean, we found, like, 1/1,000,000th of the number of fossils that are out there. So how would you know if the rate is increasing?
Well, I think they're talking about extinctions of animals in the future. They're not talking about extinction of animals in the past. They're talking about...
But how does it increase 160%?
I think just saying that, you know... When they say that future extinctions are at 1,000 to 10,000 times the current rates, and then they go and they see what the actual rate would be, they've overmultiplied it by 160 times.
Okay. This is one of those stories where it's probably best if I just smile and go, that's really fascinating, Don. That's one. Boy, you learn something every day, don't you?
There we go.
Because, like, the deeper I get into this, the more it's just going to make people angry. Like, there's going to be people screaming at the speaker. So I don't... Okay. We'll just say, okay.
On its final mission, the Space Shuttle Endeavour is now connected to the International Space Station. The announcement was made yesterday morning by NASA commander Kyle Herring.
Let's see. Shuttle 1 is what this is?
Space Shuttle Endeavour has arrived at the International Space Station. Endeavour has sailed into safe harbor for the 12th time.
Kelly entered the hatch this morning, well, actually yesterday morning, joking about the station crew's blue shirts.
Hey, you guys wore coordinating shirts. We didn't do that.
That's okay.
Hello.
How's it going?
How are you?
Hey, we're astronauts and therefore not funny.
Yeah.
You know, I found there's the greatest... Do you ever just... You're the wrong person to ask this question. Right. I was going to say, are there ever times where you wish you did drugs? So you are perhaps not the right recipient of that question. But there are times, you know, because I'm a fundamentally boring individual in most ways, but there are times where I wish... I've said in the past, actually, that I think if I were growing up... I said this some years ago, so I don't even growing up now. But if I had grown up in a slightly later era, and also if I were just not such a gigantic, if I just hadn't been just such a joyless prig as a younger person, I think in some alternate world, I would have been one of those weird, like one of those like rave kids, because I am sort of fascinated by that culture. And I mean, sure, you know, you end up brain damaged and like, you know, and just, you know, like cleaning grease traps for the rest of your life. But I mean, it seems like for the early part of things, you're having a good time. But the rave culture sort of fascinated me when I was in my 20s. And it was a thing that I kind of looked at like from the sidelines. And I sort of thought, you know, like there's some parallel version of me in some alternate universe that does that and has a great time. But speaking of mission control stuff, like the sound we just had here of the
Space Shuttle Endeavour has arrived at the International Space Station.
So there's the greatest online radio station that I listen to out of San Francisco, and I don't listen to it all the time. It's sort of like Cascady, but it's all music. There's no talk. It's all just music channels. But one of the channels they offer, it's the greatest thing. I should actually find it. I should see if I can find it and play a little bit of it like later this week, like maybe Friday or something. But it's just like this weird, tempo-less, droning, ambient sort of whatever. You know, just very much like if anybody has heard like 9-beat stretch or anything like that. It's just like these long sort of like spacey, dreamy, ambient soundscapes. And then laid over the top of it is just, they just have thousands of hours of mission control, like closed circuit dialogue that they play over the top. And it's just, it's awesome just sitting there just like at my house listening to it. I think if you were stoned, it would be like the best thing you would ever heard. Because it's like a lot of just like, and then in the background, there's like this going on constantly.
Space Shuttle Endeavour has arrived at the International Space Station.
But it's a whole lot of, but it's got the really tinny thing of like the, and we are now approaching suborbital rotation. And we are now falling into the shadow. I mean, if you were just sitting in your dorm room, just what, you know, like, you know, tasting the colors with your mind or something, I mean, I think it would be like the best thing you'd ever heard. I'm just speculating. I don't know.
Well, tarantulas have very large bodies, and a fall can be fatal for them. But they do have a trick to make sure that they don't fall. As tarantulas fall, they appear to react like Spider-Man, shooting threads of silk from their feet.
Oh, I thought you meant we were going to give them like a walker or something.
No.
Or they were going to have like one of those things babies are in that's like a, you know, it's like a round thing with wheels in the bottom.
Well, you know, spiders have silk that they shoot out of like their butt or wherever they sit.
Yes, that's where it comes from, Dawn. It comes from their butt or pooper.
Well, it's their rear parts.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, tarantulas shoot silk out of their feet.
Which is just seems wrong. I mean, it seems useful, but it's also unpleasant to think about.
The move lets them avoid falls that could prove fatal to their hefty bodies. There's a new study published in the Journal of Experimental Biology that follows conflicting reports over whether tarantulas can indeed eject silk from the ends of their legs. The new study suggests they don't have feet, by the way. So it's the ends of their legs is the technical
term. What do you mean they don't
have
feet?
They don't have hands or like actual feet.
Well, of course they don't have hands. They're spiders.
But they don't have hands or feet. Their legs just end.
So they just, okay.
Yeah. The new study suggests that they can, but researchers who found contradictory evidence in earlier work say the debate is still not settled.
Okay, but I hate to go back to this for a second, but their feet just end, but like cows don't have feet, but they have hooves. Dogs have paws.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't have feet as such, but it seems like they must have something that is separate, different from the leg itself.
Apparently, they do not. Like they're saying, this guy, Stanislav Gorb, at the University of Kiel, Germany, and his colleagues reported, quote, footprints, but, you know, not really, of spider silk from all four pairs of legs when the tarantula slipped on a vertical glass surface. Gorb showed pictures of what appeared to be tiny spigots among the hairs of the spider's feet.
Maybe this is just...
Now it says spider's feet. Maybe they do have feet.
Maybe it's just like some spider Morgellons, you know, and they're really just seeing something from the spider sweater that it's wearing. By the way, just to screw with Keelan, I'm deliberately not doing my spider voice during this story. So when I was a younger man, I owned a tarantula, and there was another guy that I sort of knew. He had a tarantula as well, and his tarantula was very and I believe they did in fact try to save the spider by taking it to the vet, who kind of just gave sort of a "What do you want from me?" kind of a shrug, and I think the spider eventually was. He was sent to the countryside to run free with the other spiders. Aww. because they're so like, it's that thing where it's like as long as they're sort of you know, like in a tree or on a branch or whatever, like in their element, they're fine, and they're sort of, you know, they're very graceful and they sing and they dance. But if they fall or if they just, you know, they're so completely non-aerodynamic, They're basically just like a big, they're like a big balloon filled with sand that just has these like frail little things on either side of it that, that you know, that, you know, with which it tries to sort of catch itself on the way down, and that just doesn't work.
Oh, well. Anyway, they talk a little bit about the glass slides. They used the experiment. They examined the slides and found the little silk strands where the legs had slipped. Which brings me to my favorite sentence in the entire story. Maybe one of my favorite sentences in any story ever. The team also examined freshly molted tarantula exoskeletons and specimens of dead tarantulas under the microscope.
Okay. That seems... Have you ever seen one of those? One of those tarantula exoskeletons?
I don't think so.
It's distinctly unnerving. That is a thing that, like, the first time you see it, you'll freak out for a second. Because it looks like... Because that's a thing where it looks... You know, because it's like when snakes shed their skin. And tarantulas kind of do the same thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, eventually they'll be like, well, I guess I can get rid of my winter coat. And they just kind of throw it off.
Oh, I didn't know. I really didn't know they did that.
But it's really, you know, it's kind of cool and gross at the same time. Like, if you're a 10-year-old boy, it's sort of awesome. But it's one of those things that then becomes gross as you grow up. Because it's like a lot of snakes. It's the thing where they'll, like, get rid of the exoskeleton. And then it's like they just, like, eat it later on. They're like, well, like, you know, which is sort of horrible.
Well, it's protein.
But they're like, you know, waste not, want not, you know, and, you know, stitch in time. Sorry, I just did the thing.
Hi there.
Now you're doing it all wrong. But that's a thing where, like, if you didn't know better, like, you're like, well, okay, you know, good night, everybody. Good night, you know, good night, moon. Good night, tarantula. You know, good night, John Boy. And then you go to bed and there's one tarantula. You wake up and it looks for a second like there's two tarantulas. And for a minute you're just sort of like, well, hang on. Like, who invited people over last night without asking permission? Because it is the size and shape. It's like an exact... It's like when you do like doing a cast of your hand or something. And so it looks for a second like there are two tarantulas in there. And it's very, very weird. But, yeah. That was really the best pet I ever had. No disrespect to many of my other pets. Or to
better
my...
than the hedgehog?
Well, I mean, when I was a child.
Oh.
I mean, I'm, you know, and again, I had the, you know, and a lot of dogs and so forth. And, you know, but when I was a kid, that I had a chameleon, which was pretty awesome as well. I had a lot of sort of science-y kind of pets. But the tarantula is badass when you're a little boy, because that is the thing that simultaneously impresses other boys and terrifies girls. You know, and then, and plus it inspires fear in others. It gives you sort of like a Dr. Evil sort of a thing.
That's all the science.
You can threaten, by the way, like you sort of threaten to, you know, if somebody displeases you in second grade, to, like, you know, to take their hand and, you know, sort of, what is it? Is it Blofeld that had the trapdoor with the piranha?
Yes.
In James Bond? You can do that. Or like Suge Knight, where he would occasionally just take somebody and just stick their face down in a piranha tank. I didn't do that, but, I mean, if I'd been Suge Knight...
Well, you know.
That statement doesn't make any sense. Okay, so what are we doing here? Hold on, we're ending Science on the March.
There you go.
All right. There's your Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. Contact them at 503-252-1609 or squireselectric.com. Somebody just says, imagine looking at the Earth from space on drugs. They should totally let astronauts do drugs in space. I bet they do. That's like one of those things where you know they have astronauts like hump it out up there just to see what happens. I mean, they don't tell anybody about it because that would just seem improper. But you know, that's like the second flight into space they were just totally having somebody get their sex on, right?
Oh, the second one where they had a lady, because you can't have homosexual sex in space because that would be, you know,
in violation of God's law.
Exactly, okay. It would make the baby Jesus cry.
That's right. Space sodomy is the worst kind of sodomy.
Yes. Attorneys for International Monetary Fund head Dominique Strauss-Kahn asked the judge to release their client yesterday. On bail, Strauss-Kahn is accused of sexually assaulting a male at a New York hotel where he was staying.
A maid.
Did I say a male?
Yeah.
Legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin.
Again, not a sodomite, Don. Let's not let's not tar and feather the man, you know, disproportionately.
Well, you know, in the Dominic Strauss-Kahn slash fic that I'm writing at home, legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin.
He makes out with Jeffrey Toobin.
Yes. Jeffrey Toobin says, "Wakachika, wakachika." He says the biggest strike against Strauss-Kahn receiving bail is the fact that he is a French citizen.
I'd like to submit a motion for your approval.
People who are not United States citizens have a built-in motive to flee. They don't have roots in the community. Those are major factors when it comes to granting or not granting a defendant bail. That hasn't changed.
And also, let's be honest, it's not like the French have a real great track record when it comes to, you know, the coming to America and then raping people and then leaving, promising to come back.
I'll be right back.
No, I'm just going to go over here for a second. You just...
Toobin says things are not looking good for Strauss-Kahn when it comes to the accusations.
This case looks like it's a very serious matter. It looks like it will proceed as a full-fledged criminal case against him. But the fact that he is a foreigner is the biggest strike against him.
Tubin explains why the defense team is trying again for bail.
I think they are going at another, just for another bite at the apple. And, you know, bail applications are frequently made on Fridays. Nobody wants to spend a weekend in prison. So it is not a surprise that they're coming back at this one. And I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to lose.
I just like the idea that, you know, I mean, it is true, I suppose, but I hadn't really thought about that. I mean, you know, just in those terms that, like, if you get denied on Monday, you might as well ask again on Friday, because the alternative, like, all they can say is no, in which case you're, you know, spending the weekend, like, at Rikers Island, yeah, which you're going to be doing anyway, yeah, which sucks.
So you're just like when the dog wants a cookie.
Yeah.
Like, how about now? How about, I mean, now?
You know, because, like, there's...
Did I have one now?
Like a one in a million chance that you'll go, oh, sure, you're so cute, you know, and all right, stress
con. Or just stop asking me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, yeah, otherwise you're just going to be hanging around in the tombs, you know, for a couple of days, which seems like a... That seems like a long weekend. That's,
yeah,
you know, that's like a two-day weekend that easily feels like a Labor Day.
Especially for a French guy.
Yeah.
You know, sitting there going, the bed is so uncomfortable. The food is terrible.
Let me know when we get to entertainment. Well, I guess I'll know because you'll tell me and then I'll play the music. When we get to entertainment news, I've got just an abomination of a story. I've just a development that is just now coming across the...
Well, I'll do one more and then we will get to it.
Right.
Two Ohio boys were kicked off a school bus for a day after passing gas and causing a ruckus. James Nichols, the father of the 13-year-old boy involved, said the incident Thursday led to giggling and heckling and prompted riders to lower their windows. He told the Columbus Dispatch the boys apparently were considered repeat offenders because the driver had warned them of a similar indiscretion weeks ago. This time, officials at Canal Winchester Middle School decided it was an obscene gesture that violated the student code of conduct. Nichols said it's laughable that the boys would be punished for something natural and unintentional. His wife said she's offended by it after recently being hospitalized with gastrointestinal problems.
So it's a whole family of flatulent...
Apparently
of,
so.
...of uncontrollable gassers.
Yes.
That's going to be a fun name to carry around for the rest of your school career.
I like that the boys were repeat offenders at the...
Are they brothers, did you say, or is it... are they just two...
No, just two boys. Just one of them has... One of them's father was saying...
Wondering if maybe they had, like, if it was some sort of explosive flatulence that was a family curse.
It sounds like it.
And it was like, you know, and like dad married the only woman in the county who had it because they were the only two that could tolerate each other. Or they were just numb to it at this point.
He has no sense of smell and she has chronic gas. And...
But the idea that that is somehow, I mean, it is natural, but the idea that that is unintentional when you are, how old are they?
13.
Yeah. I don't think.
Plus when you're giggling about it.
No.
Okay. Let's do our entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news. And by the way, I just have to, before we do anything else, this just came across. Lindsay Lohan is on Maximum. This is a series of abominations, or as our Mormon friends would say, apostasies unto the Lord. Lindsay Lohan is on Maximum. I can't even believe that I'm saying this. It's like I'm going to say this and you're going to go, what? And then I'm going to say, yeah, but now that's not all. And I'll say, listen, and you'll go, huh? And then I'll say, yes, and you'll go, yeah. And then I'll say something else, and you'll go, rah! Lindsay Lohan
Do I actually make those sounds?
No, it's not you. It's somebody like you, like a figurative.
Okay.
Lindsay Lohan is on Maxim's 2011 Hottest 100 Women list. Mwah!
No.
She's number... What number?
Well, you know.
Nothing. It's 100 women. Okay. It's 100.
Oh, God.
So you got to figure just, you know, the average there is 50. So... Where do you imagine she is on the list?
Maxim really loves those really scrawny, scary-looking girls, though.
Well, they like chicks who seem really effed up, that they, you know, like who are like high enough that they might do you, or desperate enough for $10 that they might, you know.
I'd say she's number 4.
Well, no, she's not nearly that high.
No, okay.
But I mean, but again, take a good long look. I mean, every time I picture her, I just picture her in that shot where she's covered in her own dried vomit, sitting in the car, and she's got like oatmeal all over her. She's number 38. Okay, here's the thing: she is 20 spots higher on the list. That is to say, 20 spots hotter. Who would you say right now is the hottest woman in popular culture?
All things considered. Wow. Well,
I mean, if I were to say that right now, like a woman,
a
woman in American entertainment who is mind-bendingly hot.
Well, we'd say Christina Hendricks.
Yeah, she's 20 spots hotter than Christina Hendricks. Christina Hendricks is number 58.
Oh, please. Don't tell me. Let me guess. Jessica Alba is in the top 5.
I don't know, but I know that Avril...
Because they love Jessica Alba.
Avril Lavigne is number 34. Britney Spears is 25. This list is apparently from 1998. Mm. Avril Lavigne is number 34. In other news, Avril Lavigne still exists. Mm. Jessica Alba is in the top 20, by the way. All right. Just, I'll have the entire list. Yeah, I don't even know who number
one
is. I'll find out.
We'll have to talk about this. All right. Yeah. Jeff Conaway, remember him from Taxi and from Celebrity Rehab, is in critical condition at an Encino hospital after an apparent overdose. He's in a coma and unresponsive at this time, said his manager. Family members have been in and out of the hospital waiting for news. He turned his head 2 days ago, says his manager, Phil Brock.
That would count as a win if you're Jeff Conaway?
But nothing since then. All right. There is no word on whether or not doctors expect Conaway to wake up. There's no word also on what he may have OD'd on. He did have a bad fall a year ago that occurred when he was under the influence of methadone and OxyContin. He was on Celebrity Rehab in 2008, where he opened up about his longtime addictions to cocaine, painkillers, and alcohol.
Okay.
Here's a photo of Jeff Conaway, by the way.
Boy, he does not look good. He looks like some of those shots I've seen lately of Richie Sambora, who I guess was in rehab again, where he always kind of looks like he's going, ah! You know, or just he always, he kind of looks like, or he's like developed that Brian Wilson thing. Like, have you ever seen Brian Wilson talk where he just talks out of the side of his mouth?
Yeah.
It's like because he's deaf in one ear, and so he's actually, over time, he has started to speak out of that side of his mouth to favor that ear.
I just assumed he'd had a stroke or something.
No, it's because his dad beat him with a 2x4 and deafened him in one ear. And so over time, he has started to speak. He started actually to sort of push his lips in that direction to speak in a way that favors that ear. It's actually a weird sort of evolutionary thing. I mean, he's done a lot of drugs and whatever, too, but he does that to try to project the sound, I think, closer to that ear. Jeff Conaway has no such ailment, to the best of my knowledge. He just always looks like a guy who would be speaking that way. Incidentally, the hottest chick on this Maxim Hot 100 list, it's Rosie, what's her name, but it's the girl who's the lead, apparently, in the new Transformers film. So that seems like a bit of product placement right there.
Yeah.
Number two, Olivia Munn. Number three, Katy Perry.
Olivia Munn?
Yeah, number two. Number three, Katy Perry, which means that also, which is sort of like putting Katy Perry and Zooey Deschanel, like, on the list at the same time. Mm-hmm. Cameron Diaz. That's how you know the list is effed, by the way, that Cameron Diaz is, like, anywhere near the top, like, 90. Mila Kunis, Anne Hathaway.
Mila Kunis, Anne Hathaway, I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, she's number five. Jordana Brewster, January Jones, who, you know, I guess in a weird sort of playboy, playmate, kind of uninteresting, sort of bland kind of a way. I guess it's hard to imagine that women have body issues. And it's sort of really not appealing to me because she's not that hot after all, and she's really going to have to work if she wants me to find her attractive, January Jones kind of way. But this is where you can tell, like, with these lists where they're just, when they don't have, like, enough. Because I'm not saying there aren't a hot 100 hot women in the world, but it's like that they got to find 100 hot women that the average guy will know like 80% of them. That's the thing, right? You're trying to find 100 women where the average Maxim reader, because nobody wants to pick up the list. It's like picking up Rolling Stone and not recognize any bands, which is why they always find a reason to put like goddamn Bono on the cover or something, this month where it's they have like Steven Tyler on the cover and he's got the book out or whatever, but. But they always want to make sure that when you pick it up, you don't feel alienated, that you understand, you know, you identify and recognize a lot of the people on the list. So they want to make sure that they get 100 girls, the majority of whom are identifiable to men, which is why then they just go back to what I would call just their stock choices. See?
Yeah, Natalie Portman.
It's not even... Natalie Portman, though, is at least current. She's doing... And she won an Oscar, right?
Eva Mendes, which I've never even understood. Like, she was in, like, one of those Fast and the Furious movies or something, wasn't she? What does she do?
Isn't she any Desperate Housewives? Wasn't she one of the Desperate Housewives chicks?
Eva Longoria.
Okay, but here's what I'm talking
about. I don't know.
I'm talking about the fact that Anna Kournikova is on the list. I mean, that is like straight out of 2002.
Well, Brittany Snow, is she even still working?
No. And then, you know, and then it's like, and then, you know, like Hillary Duff and whatever. So,
and then Evan Rachel Wood, like number 31.
Yeah.
They could bump her up a little
bit. She should be way higher than that. Yeah. All right. Yeah, there's Christina Harris at 58.
How does Hillary Duff rate higher on the list than Christina Hendricks?
I don't know how anybody, frankly, rates higher on the list than Christina Hendricks. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, anyway.
This is one of those things where, you almost, like, I can't get upset about men's magazines or think that they can contribute to female body issues, because if you're a woman at all and you look at this and you think that this list is in any way representative of reality, it's like you are high. You're completely high.
If it's of concern to you that you'd be attractive to Maxim readers, you know, you're, well, you need to really rethink your priorities.
I'm just, you know, I'm just like, I don't think this is representative of, I don't even really know that this is what Maxim readers would find. I would imagine that a number of these slots are just paid for, that they are just flat out bought by, you know, by like, you know, whoever, by Taylor Swift or by like the Transformers chick or whatever. So,
yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, anyway, there you go. There's that.
So Leverage, which is, of course, filmed here in Portland, is holding a casting call for ethnic men and women.
Excelente.
Who would like to serve as extras or doubles for the hit television series.
Oui.
Casting director Danny Stoltz said they're looking for people ranging in age from 20 to 70 who are of Middle Eastern, Indian, Asian, Hispanic, or African-American descent.
Well,
you could probably fake Middle Eastern, I think. You could do this.
Yeah, that's the only one I can do. Right. Like, I don't fit every one of those categories, Dawn.
There is an extra need for men, Rick Emerson, who are business types in particular.
I see. Rick Emerson likes what he is hearing.
I see Mexican business guy. On an upcoming
episode. That's wonderful. Awesome. The thing is, I've only auditioned with the Spanish accent once. And it's like, unfortunately, I did it before, like, Aaron started wheeling out his Frito Bandito voice all the time, because otherwise I would have totally been in the audition going, you know, and in other news tonight, my cousin Chewy demanded bail again. You know, it's like it would have just been,
No.
So instead, I just did the Ricardo Montalban guy from Futurama.
Well, extras will be used in upcoming episodes to be filmed June 2nd through the 10th and will be paid minimum wage for at least 8 hours, along with possible overtime pay. The casting call will be held May 21st. That's this Saturday, Judgment Day, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. and Monday, May 23rd, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. at 635 Northwest 16th Avenue, Suite A in Portland. You can also apply on the Extras Only website. So look that up.
Oh, I see. These are for extras.
These are for extras.
This is not for international news anchor.
No. You've already. I own that role. That what would be great is if they kept bringing back international news anchor and you just they kept dressing you and putting you in makeup as different ethnicities, depending on what was going on in the episode.
Handlebar mustache, or just a, just like in a dashiki.
Yeah, then the next week you're giving the wrap up and you're wearing like a beret and smoking a thin cigarette.
In other news tonight.
That's okay, maybe that's just the sort of thing I would find entertaining.
All right.
The Hobbit is several weeks into production in New Zealand, but new actors are still coming on board. Peter Jackson announced today via Facebook that Stephen Fry will be joining the adaptation. He, of course, came to fame as half of the comedy duo with Hugh Laurie in BBC series.
Whom will he be playing?
A bit of Fran Laurie and Jeeves and Wooster. He will play the Master of Lake Town, the leader of Esgaroth, a settlement of men, who is depicted in the book as greedy and cowardly.
Excellent. That's fantastic. I like to see Stephen Fry get work. I mean, not like he needs my help or anything, but I'm a huge fan of his, so I'm glad to see that.
Ryan Gage, I don't know who that is, but he will play the master's conniving civil servant, Alfred, and Conan Stevens will play an orc called Azog.
Wonderful. All right. And here's the thing about the, oh, damn it, I'm sounding crazy over here. By the way, you've got like about 1 minute here. We got one more. But the thing about the Hobbit is, you know, it's like with Sean Astin, where it's like, by all rights, he should have just been, you know, I should have been taken out of the movie by the fact that it was Sean Astin or what's his name, Elijah Wood. But Jackson is a good enough director, and he obviously picks people that he knows can sort of vanish into the role, even if they're not going to be covered in makeup or something. So I am looking forward to that.
Sean Astin, it's fun for, I think, because he went through most of his career with every time we saw him mentioned, we'd go, oh, little Rudy.
Right.
And now we look at him and we go, oh, Sam Ganji.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of it. He's always going to be the guy that you look and go, oh.
Yeah, I bet he lives with that, okay? I bet he sleeps just fine.
Yeah,
incidentally, some chick from Jersey Shore, she's listed as hotter than Danica McKellar on the list. All right. And on that note, wait, hold on. Let's put a pin in that. There we go. Awesome. I continue to be impressed by how well that flows. That's a segue like I have never heard in my life right there.
I think you're right about the Maxim thing, though, because I noticed number 10 on the list is Jennifer Lawrence, who is in Winter's Bone.
Yeah.
Winter's Bone, who is going... They're pushing her really hard right now because she's the lead in the Hunger Games.
Yeah, so it's that.
So
is,
it's
that
all is, it's all bought and paid for.
All it is, Dawn. Your life is one big lie. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Dawn Taylor, Advanced Technology and Magic Provider Minister Thomas Gidley, Executive Producer Bruce Agler, Chief of Staff Cheryl Kanakoa. As always, we thank you for listening. We'll see you next hour at rickemersonshow.com for the low, low cost of just 32 cents a day. And we will see you again tomorrow at noon. That is Friday at noon for another installment of Legion of News. Have a safe and satisfying Thursday, won't you? Won't you?